Turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes we almost are fearful when we call out verses and scriptures that are so very familiar and those that are used so many times, because we think maybe that everybody has heard all that there is to hear about particular verses, but there's nothing new under the sun, and God gives different thoughts and different ways. And this morning I want us to just consider some things about this world in which we live, and to realize that the Bible tells us that we can serve God in these last days. And we only do it by faith. And this is what chapter 11 of Hebrews is all about. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 6. And we'll make mention of some other passages in the Old Testament also. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In these next few verses, we're not going to take time to read them, but we have a whole list of people that lived by faith, and starts out with Noah and then Abraham and goes on through the list. This morning I want us to think about the subject of, can we serve God? And I really don't, I guess don't make it a question, but just a statement that we can serve God in these last days. And I believe we are living in the very last moments, the very last seasons of the days that God has given to us. I believe our time is very quickly approaching, that the Lord shall return, and he's coming back for his saints. And these verses that we've read this morning, you have the description of faith in verse number 1. It's just literally something that's real. Faith is that which we do not see, but we know it's real in our heart and in our lives. We know that it's the substance of things that we hope for and the evidence of things we have not seen at this moment, but we will be evidenced and it will be given to us. I like verse number 3. It says, through faith we understand. We talked about understanding this morning a little bit in the Sunday school lesson. By faith we understand. And notice what the first thing we understand is, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We believe that God is our creator. We believe he is the one that spoke everything into existence. And Paul here, as he writes, I believe, to the Hebrews that were Christians, he said, this faith we understand, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, the word of his mouth. Over in the book of Psalm, number 33, verse number 6, the Bible says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses." Verse number 9 says, "For he spake, and it was done." When God said, "Let there be light," guess what? There was light. When God put breathe into the nostrils of man the breath of life, he became a living soul. And so at the word of God, at the word of our Lord, these things are given to us. And that's the demonstration of faith. We demonstrate it because of what we believe and what we trust and what we know we can get accomplished because of being a child of God. And then verse number 6 is really it's the demand that is given to us, that by faith He says here, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if you want to please the Lord this morning, you have to exercise that thing called faith. If you want to be pleasing to the Lord, you've got to have some understanding that I may not can see the end result. I may not can understand everything that's taking place in my life, but I believe what he is doing for my good, because the scripture gives us those details. Now here in these verses this morning, and we're going to go back to Genesis in just a minute, but there's some folks that are mentioned here that give us some encouragement along the way according to our faith. We find there in verse number 4 that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Of course, that's given to us in Genesis chapter number 4, I believe it is. He gave an excellent sacrifice, better than Cain's. Cain's was a sacrifice or an offering of his own works of his hands, and it had no blood applied, had no blood given, and God refused his offering, but he took Abel's offering because he brought the first of his flock. And anytime there's redemption, there has to be blood involved in that. And so Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Abel knew how to worship the Lord. Abel knew how to get a hold of God. Abel knew how to offer to God. Abel knew how just to worship the Lord of heaven. And he did that by his sacrifice. And now God testifies that while he's even dead, he speaks. And the message of Abel's offering continues to us. So we have here the worship of Abel, the witness of the Lord. And then you find in verse number 5, you have Enoch, and he was translated. And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that Enoch walked with God. He had that walk with the Lord, and God just took him on to heaven one day. He did not have to suffer the pains of death. And so by faith, he was translated. He did not see death, because he had a good testimony, had that testimony that he pleased God. May God help us this morning to have that testimony that we please the Lord. Then you have Noah. Noah's where we're going to sort of camp out just a little while this morning. It says, by faith, Noah being warned of God. Noah was warned. Now, Abel, he worshiped. Enoch walked. And by the way, Noah walked with God too. But in that walk, God warned of the generation around him that there was judgment coming, and one day it would be upon them. By faith, Noah being warned of God, things not seen. What is that? Things that he believed by faith. Here we find that Noah went out and was told to build a boat that it had never, as far as scientists can tell us, at that point in history, probably had never rained. But Noah, you build a boat because it's going to rain. By faith, he did that. And he had that warning that was given to those around him. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness by faith. And then the next man that's listed there is Abraham. And Abraham, the Bible says, he went out not knowing where he is going. And that's an interesting story. Somebody say, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going because God told me to go. And he lived by faith. And you and I sometimes, and all of us, want it all laid out, step by step. I'm that type of person, and I believe so are you. We don't want the unknown. We fear the unknown. We are fearful of what might happen. Usually, those things that we think might happen usually never do happen, but we live in that fear. And we want everything laid out before us. But Abraham, he went out not knowing where he was going, and he served God by faith in that way. And now turn back with me, if you would, just for a little bit, in the book of Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Can a man walk with God in these last days? Now we know, and it's a very familiar passage, that the Bible says, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It also says, as the days of Lot was, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Noah lived in a wicked, terrible day. Lot lived in a perverted day. And we have it all combined in the society in which we live in our day. But we can live for God. We can be a servant of the Lord. We can be a testimony for the Lord. I don't believe we have gotten to the point maybe as to where Noah was in his generation, because he was the only one left, he and his family. And verse number 1, chapter 6, we'll read a few verses here, and then we'll talk about and give some thoughts on walking with God in these last days. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same being mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man. So here's the picture. There is much activity upon the earth as far as marrying and giving in marriage and children and men of renown and wisdom prevailing. But when God looked upon the situation, he finds in verse number 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him. The Bible says it grieved him at his heart. Here God has put man in position. Years have gone by, even though we're in the 6th chapter of Genesis, many multitude of years has gone by, and man has forgotten about the things of the Lord. Adam and Eve, of course, fell in the garden, then sin was upon them, and Cain killed Abel. Seth is born unto that family, and through that family, the seed of God is given to us. And so the message goes forth, but now we are coming to a society here that was more involved in them, their own selves than they were the things of the Lord. And the Bible says here that when God looked upon man, he saw the wickedness of man was great. He didn't just see wickedness, he saw great wickedness. That little adjective there, great, it describes that it was a terrible time upon the earth when Noah lived. And the Bible says that God even was sorry that he had made man. It repented him that he had made man. It says here that it grieved him at his heart. God of heaven that has made everything and given to us everything, it grieved him at his heart when he saw how wicked man was in Noah's day. Time has progressed quite a bit now, and there's still men of renown, and mentally, there are giants in our land. And God looks down, and I wonder what he sees. I'm afraid he sees the same thing. The wickedness of man is great. And I'm not putting words in the Lord's book or in his thoughts, but I sort of think the Lord is sitting in heaven this morning, and as he looks down and sees every imagination of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of man, I believe God is still grieved. I believe his heart is still grieving because of the wickedness of man. And so we have here a very bleak situation. It's a very terrible state of mind and a state of affairs when you get to Genesis chapter number 6. The Lord says in verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. Here we find God said, I'm just sorry I made them. I'm going to destroy the whole thing. If God created it, he can uncreate it. If God can speak it into existence, guess what? He can speak it out of existence. And so God says, I'm seeing all the wickedness in the world, and I'll just destroy man whom I have created. He says, not only man, but I'll destroy the beasts and the creeping things and the fowls. He said, I'll just wipe it over. I've had enough. Well, but thank God for verse number 8. I'm glad chapter 6 doesn't stop there. You come to verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect or upright in his generation, and Noah walked with God. There's only two people in the Bible that it's given that passage that he's walked with God. One is Enoch and the other is Noah. He had this testimony. Enoch had the testimony that he loved God. He walked with the Lord. Noah was a just man. He was perfect. That doesn't mean he was without sin. It just meant he was mature enough, had spirituality about him. He was an upright person. And he was perfect in his generations. That means his children saw his righteousness. And he walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Notice verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way in the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God says, I've had it. That's enough. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And through Noah and his faithfulness and his righteousness and his walk with God, we are sitting here this morning. If Noah had been like the rest of the generations, we wouldn't be around. I believe God would have destroyed that creative work that he had put upon in this, what we call our solar system. Noah found grace. Noah walked with God. Terrible world, terrible life, terrible society. Every imagination of their heart was evil. Not just a little bit, but continually. Everything they thought about was ungodly and wicked and unbecoming to an individual. There are some places in our country that I'd hate to go through in the daytime, much less the night, because of the wickedness that's in our world. And God looks at that and God sees that. But yet, thank God, there are some that can still say we walk with God. I'm glad this morning that we have the ability as a child of God to walk hand in hand with the Lord. I'm glad we have that opportunity that we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. The period of time that Noah walked with God was a time of a spiritual crisis. No one believed the Lord except Noah and his family. No one had any spirituality about them. They couldn't have a church service. They couldn't have a family gathering. They couldn't have any kind of opportunity to meet with people and have any kind of righteous fellowship together, because they wasn't one but one family, and that was Noah's family. Everybody else had sold themselves down the tube and was going to hell and did not care. It was a period that crisis was upon them spiritually. The Bible says in verse 3 that the Spirit of God not always strive with man. A person, lest they think that every day is always going to be the same, there comes a day when God says enough is enough. There'll come a time in the history of our country that God will say that's enough. There has been other countries as great and as powerful down through history as and speaking in time frame as America, and now we just read about them as a has-been and a happening because they forgot God. If God doesn't judge America, then God has to rewrite much of his word, because the Bible says he judges unrighteousness. So the Spirit of God moved upon them, and he gave his servant a message. He said, now you got 120 years. My Spirit's not always going to strive with man. I'm going to give you 120 years. And Noah preached and Noah built an ark. And that ark was an ark of safety for all that would come unto him. But yet we know the story that no one came. The means of salvation was that ark. We have one in Kentucky, but it's not like the one God made. It may be a good resemblance and a good testimony, but the ark that God told Noah to make was specially for his day and his time. God gave a way of deliverance. You know who my ark is this morning? You know who your ark is this morning? It's none other than Jesus Christ. He's our ark of safety. He's the one that has come and given to us eternal life. And we are safe and secure in the bosom of the Lord. And no matter what comes our way, we're going to heaven. We rejoice in the knowledge of salvation. But Noah lived in a day when nobody else was working and serving God except him. If Noah could do that with nobody, I believe I can do it with some friends that I have. You know, we should depend probably more than we do upon each other's spirituality. Because we get fearful. We have harm. We have desires. We have problems that come to us. And I'm glad I can go and talk to somebody. I'm glad I can bear my burdens to someone and they can help me and they can talk to me and they can instruct me. I've got some preachers that I call, and sometimes I just call and talk to them because of burdens on our heart, because there's people that we trust, people that we know. Noah didn't have that, yet he walked with God. I have no excuse not to walk with the Lord because I have someone, I have people, I have friends, I have loved ones. He lived in a time of a spiritual crisis. No one knew God. Now, we're gathered in here this morning, and we know the Lord. But what if we was in here this morning and just me, and everybody else around me was ungodly and wicked except my family? How would I fare then? How would I get along then? Because I don't have any encouragement from someone else. And by the way, we need to want to be an encourager. We need to want to be somebody that holds somebody's hands, somebody that undergirds and helps and in times of difficulty, because my friend, it's going to come to all of us. It's going to happen to each of us, and we need someone that we can depend upon. But Noah walked with God, yet he had no one except his three sons, his wife and their wives. God said, it's not going to always last this way, Noah. Give you 120 years. We read these verses, we find it was a time of social corruption. It always follows spiritual crisis. When you have a spiritual crisis in your country, the next downward trend is a social corruption. And we're living in that right now. Our society is corrupt. It's not just a little bit bad, it is corrupt. It's not got any, I don't see any ray of hope. Somebody said, well, I'll be glad this election's over. It's not going to matter who gets what. Flip a coin, you don't have much difference in either one of them. Wonder why it's that way? Could it be because God said, this is what you want, this is what you get, whoever you vote for? God help us. But the end result of a spiritual crisis is a corruption of society. I would have never thought in my mind, in my days, that I would hear someone say they don't know which bathroom to go to. I mean, that's beyond my thoughts. I would have never thought that I'd have seen our government say it's okay for man to marry a man, woman to marry a woman. I didn't think that would ever happen. Our Supreme Court one day will answer to the Supreme Judge. And there won't be any accusations then that are not true. Corrupt society. They had the material blessings. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And the Bible says in another place, they knew not until the Lord came and closed the door. Why didn't they know? I know I walked with God. I know he walked with God. I know he preached. Why didn't they know? Because they would not hear. They would not listen. Just like our society today. And so they had material blessings. They had all the things that they desired to make them happy and joyous. But they were morally bankrupt. They had no morals about them. It was a time that God said, I saw. And then it says he sorrows. And God says there in verse 7, I've just had it. But Noah walked with God. If Noah can walk with God without anybody encouraging him, why can't we walk with God when we have many to encourage us? It was a time of sweet communion with Noah. He walked with God. He just walked with the Lord. Come here, Seth. I'm going to pick on you. Come here. Don't pass out on me. You won't have to say a word. But as you hate to, give me a hand. We're going to take a walk. What's your face doing, Red? You know what he's doing? He's walking with me, and I'm walking with him. I could have picked on anybody, but I wanted to pick on him. Go sit down. We walk together, hand in hand. And that's what Noah did with the Lord. Noah walked with God. Now, Noah didn't have a brother Tom or a brother Bradley or any of you ladies. Noah didn't have anybody to encourage him other than his family. But yet he walked with God. And I've got folks that tell me all the time that they pray for me. Therefore, I can walk with God. Noah didn't have that. Sometimes our steps grow longing and we have problems. But you and I, we have each other. Churches have other churches. Thank God for people all across this country that have been a blessing to this church and we've been a blessing to them. We encourage each other. Noah didn't have that, yet the Bible says he walked with God. And sometimes I have a hard time walking with the Lord, even though I've got every opportunity. We live in a time of moral bankruptcy, and we live in a time that is ungodly. But we also live in a time of sweet communion and fellowship together with God's people and with the Lord. In the midst of all of this, oh, by the way, Noah didn't have this. He didn't have anything called a Bible. But the Bible said he walked with God. I have 66 books here that call itself the Holy Bible. And sometimes we have trouble walking with God. Oh, preacher, it's too hard. Preacher, there's too many pressures. There's too many problems. And sometimes I agree with you. Sometimes it feels like there's too much. But we can walk with God in these last days. God had a meeting place. One day I met the Lord. If you're saved this morning, you met the Lord. I met him one night, November the 15th, 1959. The building is not there. All we have is a picture. But I tell you, I can show you on that picture the night where I was sitting when I trusted the Lord. The building's not there, but I can take you, I believe, within 3 feet of where I was. We have different testimonies. And God had a meeting place for us one day. Somebody want to tell me this morning what your meeting place was? Just real quick, anybody? Cabinet shop. Graham, Kentucky. In your basement. Your living room. Your backyard. Bedroom. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Some of you could say right up here. Some of you could say right here. Some over there. Some over here. Some might could say, oh, back there. But we had a meeting place. Had a place where we met God. It wasn't just a little 4 or 5 word prayer. We met God. It wasn't turn over a new leaf. It wasn't trying to do better and clean up and all that stuff. We just met the Lord, found out how wicked we were, and we fell upon our face before God and said, I need you. And then we can't walk with God. Man, I'm preaching myself under conviction. We can't meet and trust the Lord. Is a meeting place. It's a mutual place. He was there and I was there. Somebody said, how you know you got saved? Well, I was there. I know it. I don't have to tell anybody anything. I just know I was where God was. Now, sometimes there's a price of walking with God. Sometimes we have to pay the cost. Noah didn't have to pay too much. He was saved. He found grace. Sometimes we are subdued by our flesh. The flesh overtakes us. Then we have to crawl back to God and say, God, forgive me. Sometimes we have separation of family. They don't understand. They think you're just old-fashioned. You have family that just don't believe. And sometimes they don't want to have much to do with you because you're a Christian. Pay the cost. Pay the price. Sometimes we're scorned by our friends. They make fun. They mock. You're a Christian. It's not fashionable today to be a Christian. It's not like it was 50 years ago. It's not too fashionable today to be called a child of God. We are of a different breed in this day. But I'll tell you what, there's a payday for it. Noah walked with God, and you know what? He walked out of the boat. He had a payday. Can you imagine his generation? Can you imagine his society? Well, Noah, what are you doing building a boat? While they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, having their parties, Noah's out there building a boat. Scorned, mocked. You're going to do what? It's going to rain. What's rain? You're going to take animals in that thing? You're going to what? Making fun and mocking. But one day God said to Noah, come into the ark. And I'll tell you again, like I've always do, he didn't run in the ark while the rain was falling. He went in a full 7 days before the first drop ever fell. And I can hear his society. What are you going in there for, Noah? The door's shut now. Ah, Noah, he'll come out one of these days. He'll get tired of being in there. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 goes by. Then all of a sudden, something falls from the air. Begins to rain. The Bible says not only did it rain, the fountains of the deep were broken up. All the water that is under the earth, the firmament under the earth, was broken up. It rained 40 days and 40 nights, about like what we've had. But Noah was in the ark and the door was shut. Can you imagine as the water began to rise? Then they maybe remembered what Noah had said and they try to get in. Only problem is when God shuts the door is shut. I just, in my little imagination, I just sort of think maybe the door disappeared. Was no door. Where do you knock? How do they can't even see in because there's only one window at the top. And here the rain comes and the fountains of the deep are broken up and they're screaming and they're not mocking now. They're not making fun now. And I'll tell you what, there's a day coming when this world will not mock our God any longer. They'll not make fun of the Christians anymore. They'll not belittle God of heaven any longer. The Bible says God will make this world His footstool and He'll just relax on it. So yes, we can walk with God. There's a cost that we'll, a price that we'll pay, but there's a payday. Noah enjoyed the sweetness of his fellowship. Noah enjoyed the salvation, not only his salvation, but he had joy. His three boys were in there with him and their wives and Miss Noah. Noah had the joy of fellowship with his family that he walked with God. It had been a sad state of affairs if Noah had not walked with God. We would not be here this morning. Because God said, I'm going to end it all. Man, beast, things that creep, things that fly, it's all over. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah in that ark was just as secure as you and I are in our ark. Noah couldn't get out. He didn't want out. And if that door disappeared, he didn't have no way of going out. Only way he could do was look up through that one window. He could not look upon the destruction of man. He looked up toward God. And one of these days in Noah's life, that old ark that had been rocking to and fro on the water all of a sudden hit ground. It maybe tottered a little bit as the water came down, but it landed safely. And the blessing to Noah was that he walked in because he walked with God. He walked out because God walked with him. And you and I this morning, we can walk with the Lord. Shouldn't be a question, can I? It should be a statement, I can walk with God. Let's stand together this morning.